The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Runes, the 2018 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2018. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
I'm going to go on and get started, because I know this is seminar before lunch, so I know how that is at school, so I can imagine how it is today. I kind of like to move around, but I'm thinking with this mic, I'm going to have to stay right here. But anyway, maybe not. Maybe I can move around a little bit. My name is Ann Walker, and I am from Memphis, Tennessee, and teach at Westminster Academy. I started there. We sent our oldest there when he was in kindergarten. And now my youngest is a senior, so we have been there a long time. And I started teaching in 2005, upper school math. And now I have a new role. So I have a son that just started his career on Monday, so one off the payroll. And I have a daughter who is a junior about to be in dental hygiene school, and then I have a senior at Westminster. And so I have a new role as of the past 3 weeks, which is a mother-in-law. So that's my summer reading. My summer reading is I'm a mother-in-law. So I'm trying to do that right and not make any big mistakes this early on. So our school started a house system in 2007. And I have to give all the credit to my dear friend Andrew Smith, who is now at Veritas School in Richmond. And he saw the need for our growing school to implement a house system and did a lot of research. And so in 2007 is when we began. I have played all different roles in the house system, and I'll talk about that as I go through. But I have been a part of it from the beginning and had a lot of different assignments and roles in the house system. Right now, I'm the director of the houses, so I'm over all four of our houses. So I will share what my role is and then what all the different people within the houses do. But we were facing a bit of a dilemma in 2007 when our house system started. We had a student government. We had a student council. And so what we had is one very, very exhausted faculty member and some class officers, two of four, that did everything. And so they had class officers in every grade, even though our school was very small. But these three people were utterly exhausted. And so we said, we've got to find a better way. And after a lot of research, we thought, okay, this is the answer to student council. So we implemented the house system, and we still have a type of student government right now. So we have four houses, and we have four house captains. And again, all of these I'm going to expound on during my talk. But we still have class officers. So we have four class officers, president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, for 7th through 12th grade. And they report, really the senior class president runs the student government meetings, and they report to the upper school head. So that's totally separate from our house system. And they really are assigned the task of upper school, lower school relationships, different things we do for them, like field days with them or Secret Santa, things like that. And service projects now fall under our student government. So they meet usually at least once a month. It's called our leadership council. So we do still have a student government system, but they do very different things than what the house system does. So before I get into the specifics, let me tell you what a house system is, what our purpose and goal in starting the house system is, and then I'm going to talk about the different responsibilities within the house system, the different roles that people play, and then at the end I'm going to go through what our calendar looks like and all of our events. I want to save time for questions, and many of you attend schools or work at schools that have a house system, so any insight you have at the end, I'm sure everyone would love to hear that too, but I'm going to keep a close check on my time so we can have time at the end for questions. So what a house system is it's a school structure that personalizes a larger community by separating it into smaller ones. in which students are mentored and nurtured academically, physically, socially, and spiritually. Forms of the structure thrived for many years before Harry Potter and have benefited the culture of both colleges and secondary schools. There's lots of research that proves this. Houses are designed to separate students and faculty into smaller communities in order to foster a better school community, a better school culture for creating accountability, ownership, leadership among students and faculty members. So that is what the overall definition of a house system is. Now, we have a mission. This is our house statement. And at the end, I'm going to give you my email. I will be glad to just email this whole presentation and any other documents you want. So don't feel like you have to write real fast. What I will ask you to do, though, is as I'm talking, if you have a question, just jot that down so that we can go over them at the end. So our mission, the House Masters met for several years, kind of fine-tuning what our mission statement was going to be. And then it passed through the administration and the board. So this is our official mission. The mission of Westminster County Academy House System is to create communities in which five cornerstone virtues, virtus, comitas, gravitas, hilaritas, and pietas, can be cultivated in the hearts of the students and faculty. Through the lens of these virtues, we will be equipped to maintain a healthy and vibrant student culture at Westminster. So this is our overall mission. Okay, and we talk to the students about this, our leadership. We really try to go back to these things, especially when we really get caught up in the day-to-day workings of the house and the events and things like that. We try to constantly see what we plan through the lens of our mission. So let's talk about our house system, what our purpose and goal is, who's in the house. How often do we meet, and how do they interrelate? So the purpose of the house, so as our upper school was growing, our institutional framework for facilitating school culture needed to be less fragmented and more integrated. The house system offered a streamlined model for student government, student activities, advising, and peer mentoring. The house system then is a structure that fosters better school culture by creating more accountability, ownership, and leadership among students in a way that's intentional and personal. And I know that we all try to do that in the classroom, but especially in an upper school classroom when you have 45 minutes, it's difficult. I just plugged mine in. It's fine. So it's harder to do that in a classroom. I mean, we all are called to do that. That's our ultimate purpose, to establish these relationships, but it's hard to do, and it's a constant struggle. I don't know about you, but for me, in my classroom, to do that. So the house system has given teachers a better opportunity to really be intentional and personal in these kids' lives. So that's what the purpose of the house system, when we set out and we decided we were going to do that, that was going to be our purpose. So our goal is a little different, okay? Given that one of the overall purposes, of course, of classical education is to train the soul to love that which is worth loving, the immediate goal of the house system is to provide an atmosphere for our students which embodies the realities that they're accountable to people other than themselves, and that rights and responsibilities go hand in hand. Students will get to intimately know other students in other grades. So our school, when we started this, was not that large, but we were already seeing this big chasm between 7th and 12th grade. And because our classes were small, the grades really stuck together everywhere they went, whether it was in the classroom, of course, but at lunch, whether they did things outside of school, they didn't even know the 12th graders. These are small classes we're talking about. So we thought, how can we get a better relationship 7th through 12th grade? And so the house system was the answer for us. So who's in a house? So our grammar school is K through 6, upper school 7th through 12th. So when they enter 7th grade, when they come back to school in August, they will be assigned a house. And the oldest sibling, once they're assigned to the house, their younger siblings will also be in the same house. We have faculty who are teachers that have kids in the school, whether it's grammar school or upper school, so they're all in the same house. Families are all in the same house, and they stay in the same house until after they graduate. There's a 12th grade student who serves as the house captain, And I'm going to explain the process of how this this student is chosen. But the 12th grader is the house captain, and they are directly under a faculty member who's called the house master. So we have four houses, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But so we have four house masters and four house captains that are seniors that serve directly under the house masters. All of our upper school faculty is assigned to a house. So we have full participation by everyone in the upper school, and we have our meetings and events. And we feel like that really will enhance our relationships with the students, having all the faculty involved. This year was the first year that, so we have grade advisors, and we this year assigned your advisees to be students within the house. So if I am in Beckett House, that's one of our houses, then my grade advisees are in Beckett House. So now I have that overlapping time with them. You know, academically, even if I don't teach them, I have them as grade advisees, and I see them in house meetings. So that has worked very well, and a very good decision that we feel like we made. Houses meet once a week. We meet for 40 minutes on Thursdays. And this is really a non-negotiable time. I have full backing from the administration. All the teachers understand this. This is not a time to go make up work. It's not a time for you to schedule dentist appointments, things like that. I mean, sometimes that happens. But we try to make this very, very intentional. And because every house faculty is in a house, they're going to be in there. There's no teachers to meet with. They're all in their houses. So this is a designated 40 minutes of time to talk about upcoming events, make announcements, make plans for things that are coming up, play games. We try to always have something fun. We don't want this to become drudgery that they dread every week. You know, we want to make it fun. And so we always try to end with something like that, with a game. But they plan for field days or challenges, things like that. As we go through the calendar, you'll see we've got a lot going on, so there's a lot to do. So how do the houses interrelate? This is a competition. We have a competition between the houses that lasts all year, and at the end of the year, we have a closing ceremony where we award a cup. So we definitely have very, very lively competition, but we also have things that we felt like a few years ago it was getting so competitive that once a quarter we started implementing what's called mini challenges, where we go to the gym and we play games against each other, but it's not for points. So that kind of released a little bit of tension, and I think it's been better the past few years. But each house issues their own challenge that really benefits the school, whether it's raising money for a nonprofit, collecting can tabs, box tops, things like that. So each house has their own individual challenges that they issue, and then that is for points, but it benefits the school too. So again, four houses, one community, participating in things that are ultimately going to help the school at large. So the next thing I want to talk about is who our four houses are named after. So our houses were named after men who had a great impact and sacrificed their lives for the growth of the early church. So when our house system started, Andrew Smith, along with our seniors that year, really talked about and prayed about and decided how we were going to name these houses. And I'm going to just talk about Athanasius, but I have descriptions and symbols and colors and everything for all four of the houses. But just for the sake of time, I'm going to just kind of go into detail about just Athanasius. So Athanasius was a 4th century bishop who lived among the monks in Alexandria, Egypt. His life was dedicated to protecting and defending the divinity of Christ by fighting against the Arian heresy. Athanasius attended the Council of Nicaea in 325 and helped form the Nicene Creed. His relentless efforts on behalf of the kingdom of God and his fervency for Christ earned him his motto, Athanasius Contra Mundum, against the world. Their mascot is a griffin, so they decided that was going to be their mascot, and it symbolizes courage, boldness, and leadership. Their symbols are the lighthouse of Alexandria, which is the birthplace of Athanasius, and a beacon to those who are searching for the light of Christ. They have a shepherd staff, symbolizes ministry, protection, and correction to the flock of Athanasius' house. The Coptic cross, the traditional cross of the Egyptian Coptic church. And then the globe, representing Athanasius' motto of Contra Mundum, against the world. Their colors are blue and orange. And so those have been, since the beginning of the house system, those symbols and colors are what this house is represented and in honor of Athanasius. So it's very, very important to us that the members know about their namesake. All of our namesake challenges are centered around their namesake. As the seventh graders come in, they are educated for a whole semester about Athanasius and his contribution to the early church. So these were decided a long time ago, and I know within this particular house, what they do is every year they focus on a symbol. And they talk about that, and they have it on their shirt, and so they rotate symbols every year, so that by the time you're in 12th grade, you're very familiar with what the symbols are and about Athanasius. So that's one house. I could go on with all three and give you all of those and can in a document if you want it. But we are very, very intentional, not just to have this name of this, you know, old person that they don't know anything about. I mean, they know it very, very well by the time they're in 11th grade and 12th grade and are able to educate the younger students about why we named what we did and just have an appreciation for these martyrs. So those are our four houses. The next thing I want to talk about is the house master. So the house master, it's a very big job. They have leadership responsibilities, cultural development, and then what we all have, administrative, probably the least liked by any of us of any job, but they do have a lot of administrative responsibilities. So what their primary role is to act as a mentor to their house captain, to this 12th grader that they have chosen and have taken under their wing. They just partner with him or her in the leadership of the house. The makeup of our house captains have been different every year. Sometimes it's all young men, sometimes it's young women. It's a mixture of those. So we really pick the ones that we feel qualified, not looking at, oh no, we have four girls this year, what are we going to do? We just want the best person, the most qualified for that position. And you know, in looking at our students, people, our seniors really, most of them want to go for house captain. Some of them, though, have talents and gifts more in being a class president because they have better administrative skills and maybe there's just some relational things that they don't have or maybe the energy to lead a house. So there are opportunities outside of house captain for them. And so we really try to help them find their way if they want to be in leadership at the school. And if they don't get to be house captain. So we do have that whole, again, a great avenue for that with student government. The house master has to have a thorough knowledge of the namesake's history because that's the identity of the house. It's going to shape the identity of the house. Then they strengthen and guide the identity of the house through recognizing their namesake, knowing the history of their namesake, things like that. They also observe the juniors all year to see who is going to be qualified to be captain next year. So they have a big role in that, just constantly looking at the students coming up and how can we prepare them, equip them, give them the tools they need to be good leaders by the time they're 12th grade. So those are the kind of their leadership development that they do. The cultural development, they assist the captain in overall and immediate responsibilities, giving general reminders of what they should be doing, that we really don't like them going directly to the students in the house. We'd rather them kind of, you know, urge the house captain to do that, communicate with the students. I think you probably all know they receive it better from probably a senior, seventh grader, than they're going to receive it from us. So we really encourage that. So they also generate specific ideas to achieve overall yearly goals that align with the house's identity. And I'll talk about this in just a minute, but at the beginning of the year, we have a house retreat that we take the 10th through 12th graders on overnight, and we have leadership talks, and then they split up into houses. Their houses, and they talk about what are our goals and what do we want to do this next year. And it's hilarious to see what they come home with because it's like this long thing of what they want to do. And so we try to say, okay, what are the top three things in the house that we want to identify as our goals and execute? So it's the house master's responsibility to really keep going back and reminding those students, this is what we decided, so let's try to at least do these things well instead of all these things that kind of get put aside sometimes. They provide suggestions and perspectives and ideas. They help them come up with ideas, making them think their ideas, but it's really the housemasters, so they're really good at that. Communication, delegating responsibilities, helping the house captain figure out what's the best way to do that, especially early on in the year. Develop an organizational structure within the house. All four of our houses look very different as far as the committees that they have. So whatever committees they decide they want, the house master works with the house captain to say, okay, I think this is a good one to have. We need this. You know, last year we really struggled here, so why don't we implement this? So they help them think through the committees and the infrastructure of the house. Creating meaningful and manageable roles with the other house faculty, and this is something we still are working on, making the other house faculty feel valuable, making them know exactly what their roles are in house meetings. So that's really the house master's role to do that. Observe, engage the house ethos and morale. So, you know, we as adults can be in a house meeting and really see this student that's very unengaged in the back and trying to sneak their work to do, you know, something else or read. And so, you know, a house master really has to notice those things, and that can affect the whole morale of the house, having a few that are unengaged and not interested. So the house master has to kind of gauge that. We have had struggles in the past. As the year goes on, we don't post points, but of course they can kind of keep up with how the points are going. And so towards third and fourth quarter, if there's a house that's really struggling in points, that morale and energy just goes down, and that house captain really has to work to bring that back up. So the house master and captain work together to say, okay, let's have a, you know, cookout on Friday night somewhere. Let's just do something fun to boost this energy outside of school. And then maintain in words, actions, and ideals the dual aspects of the house system. So we're all about competition, but we're also about collaboration with the other four houses, because our ultimate goal is to glorify God and to be these four different houses, but we are still one community. So there's a fine line between that. Usually middle school is all about the competition. You know, they come in, just all they want to do is go to field day. And so we really have to, the older students kind of have to tame that and work to ingrain that collaboration with them as well as the competition. And then we always want to preserve these house traditions. We look, okay, 100 years from now, what is the house system going to look like? What traditions need to be preserved? And then what new traditions do we want to implement without overloading all of us and trying to do too much? Okay, so the role of the house captains. So these were our four house captains this year. The role of the house captain. Oh, excuse me. Let me go back to the administrative role of the house master. So they communicate with the captain once a week. They meet with them once a week. They also meet. I'm the director of the houses, so I meet with the four house masters once a week. I also meet with the four house captains once a week. This year, because of some changes in the schedule, we had to have that meeting all together. It's not what I would want, and we're changing it next year back to how it was, because I need to be able to meet with those four house masters separately from the captains, because we need to talk about what issues, you know, what do you see that they're not doing that I can help them with. So I can kind of, that's a kind of a hard relationship sometimes with the house master and the house captain. So sometimes I can intervene and have those hard conversations to preserve that relationship. So the house master will attend a meeting with me and then meet with the house captain. And then we ask the house captains to submit a weekly agenda for the house meeting. So the house master makes sure that is going well and what needs to be covered is being covered. Sometimes they like to do funny YouTube videos, so of course all those are approved before the house master has to see it, things like that. And then we have house budget built into tuition as a house activity fee for each student. So the house master is allotted a certain amount of money every year. They keep up with the budget. Now we have, you know, wanted these students to learn accounting and be on top of the house budget, but they have a whole lot that they're responsible for, so we hadn't gotten to that point. So they can suggest to the house master or request ways that they want to spend money, but we were just talking about a T-shirt that one of the houses wants. Well, that's going to take their whole budget. They don't want to do one. You know, they would do that, but they're not wise enough to see down the road. want to have feasts within the house and things like that. So the house master just helps with that, with the budget, and keeps up with it. So the role of the house captain is a little bit different, because they are not who they're going to be in August versus what we graduate in May. So we are training them. Hopefully, as a school, we are doing a better job starting earlier, not waiting until they get to be house captain to train them. So we are really being intentional about what does this look like? What does leadership look like at our school? But the house captains have they go through a pretty rigorous process to get chosen. So they decide their junior year. We meet with all the juniors early on at the house retreat and talk to them and say, this is what the house captain does. And they know, they have seen some things just by being in house for so long. But we talk to them and say, we want all of you. We think it's a great process for all of you to run for house captain. Because what we do is we have them submit an essay on why they want to be a house captain. We have them go through an interview process with the house master and the other house faculty, and then they lead a house meeting. So we do not just throw them into the deep end of the pool. We talk to them, we meet with them, this is what it's going to be like. But that gives us a great picture of when they walk in front of the room, does the energy level go like this? You know, do they keep them engaged? They have any crowd control, the kids that want to sit in the back and not engage. So it's just a good picture for the house master and the house faculty of how they do that. Then they meet together. We also get input from all the teachers that teach these students, just to kind of see their academic progress and how they're doing. Will they be able to handle this job as well as their subjects that they're going to be taking their senior year? And then they decide, the house master and the house faculty decide who's going to be chosen. And then we meet with the juniors and tell them who the new house captains are. We used to do it at the end of the year, but we noticed that our seniors fourth quarter, as much as they want to still be so engaged and so excited, they are beginning to move out, and that's okay. So we announce the new house captains right after spring break. So fourth quarter, they can be a part of the house system, kind of be a co-captain, watch what the captain has done, begin to come to house captain meetings, and then they have the whole summer to meet with their house master and plan for the fall. And that's worked really well. We've been doing it about 4 or 5 years where we moved it. We used to do it in May, and that was hard just for them to jump in the summer. But the roles, the responsibilities of the house captain, they are to collaborate with the other house captains. That's why I meet with the house captains by the four house captains once a week. Just what's going on in your houses, not to share any traditions or secrets or things like that, but what's working for you that we can all, you know, learn from and benefit from. They communicate clearly to the houses the goals, what it looks like to have productive competition. We have them talk a lot to the seventh graders and eighth graders about that. Larger scale plans, maybe they want to do something with another house, you know, for the school, or maybe they want to go use the gym during their house meeting. So they've got to figure out what facilities they need, you know, make the request to me. So they really have to be thinking of plans long term and short term. And then they meet on a weekly basis with the house master. One of the hardest things they have to do is delegate. So, and then follow through, because they have not really experienced telling someone to do something and them not doing it. So the follow through is hard. Then we've had some captains that kill themselves. They won't delegate. They want it done a certain way, and it may be done well, but it has hurt the house system overall. It's hurt their house and hurt the whole house system. And we've learned the hard way that we really have to stay on top of those type A house captains that want to do it all. But we want them to leave the house in a better place than when they found it, with more competent leaders and students who can participate across the board. And that's why when I show you our calendar, we have strategically put something for everybody in there. No matter what your interests, your talents, and gifts are, we feel like you can participate in something that we offer all year. Demonstrate Christ-like character as a leader and a servant of the house community, confidentiality regarding matters discussed in house captain meetings. If we really see a student that's struggling, we want to tell that 12th grader that. How can we come alongside? You know, what can we do? You know, with the rise of social media, the bar is set very high for what I require. I follow all of them on social media. you know, you are representing God, the school, your family, and your house. And so you can't be in front of the house requiring something and then they see what you're doing on Snapchat. So I do follow all of them. This year, my daughter is a senior. She's a house captain. So it's three of her best friends. So that's good because I already have a relationship with them and I treat them like my own kids. So this is difficult too. They have to assess the strengths of the house members as individuals and creatively find outlets for those strengths. And so what we do at the house retreat in August, we really try to look at the house rosters and let the 10th through 12th grade pick what they want to do. And then let's talk about these they don't know the 7th graders yet, but the 8th and 9th graders, let's talk about where you see their strengths are. And so it really is neat to see the 10th through 12th graders talking about this 8th grader and how awesome they are in this. Let's ask them to do this. And then when 11th grader comes up and asks you to participate in this competition, you're all in. So that works a lot better than the house master just saying, here's the list of who's going to do what. So that's been a great thing too. But it is hard to find the strengths and it's hard to, you know, have everybody 100% all in. We still struggle with that. Cultivate and maintain morale and motivation. It's easy when you're winning. It's harder when you're not. So that's a constant struggle that we have to talk about. Develop and hone leadership structure within the house through offices and committees. So, you know, putting people in smaller committees so that they can learn to be the heads of committees and begin leadership very early on, even in middle school. Same thing as house master, preserve house traditions and develop new traditions. Think about that. Compose a clearly outlined agenda that they submit to the house master each week and lead the weekly house meeting in an organized fashion. Now, we start out and everybody's all in, but you know, then they get to third quarter and they're looking forward to the senior trip and they're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do in house meeting this week. So that's why it's very important for the house master to continue to require that. You know, I need your house agenda by Wednesday, because we all get tired. You know, that third quarter is hard. And so we really want them to be intentional about that, because it is up to them, and it's a lot of responsibility, but it really is up to that house captain to make people look forward to coming in on Thursdays. And that's hard to do. It's hard to keep it going. It's hard to keep the energy going, but it's not all on your shoulders. There are very creative people. Our houses have grown to about 35 in each house. So you look at those students, and we have kids that are technologically advanced that can help with the PowerPoints. We have got very just really fun students, you know, just the really energetic, fun students. Put them in charge of planning the game the next week. It does not have to be all on you. So, but it does. At first, they do a great job, and then they kind of get tired. Okay, house support. What house support do we have? I have a phenomenal administration that is all in for house events, and I know that everybody doesn't have that. But, you know, we got early on administration, like I said, to agree no makeup work during house meetings. That 40 minutes is dedicated to what we need to do. I have weekly meetings with my upper school head, and we go over the calendar and talk about it. And if we have to change some things, that's fine. I have regular calendar meetings with the administration, with the headmaster, and just talking through, is this the best place to put this on the calendar? We try to do that before the fall, but sometimes that has to be tweaked. Is, you know, we advance in mock trials, so we need to reevaluate whether we're doing that mini challenge today. And then I'm constantly talking about budget needs. They're very, very generous to funding our house system, and so that's been great. House faculty, again, I've talked about this can be hard, but they don't have many jobs outside of that Thursday meeting, except if the house plans a cookout somewhere or they plan to go play laser tag. We do want the house faculty to try to come. We ask them to be the heads of subcommittees within the house. So a lot of times we'll have announcements in the house. You know, we'll have the devotion and prayer, go over announcements, and then we'll spread out for committee meetings. And so the house faculty spread out with those committees. We never want a group of kids in a room without an adult. So they will go in and kind of guide them, because the house master cannot be everywhere all the time. So that's really what their responsibilities are. And of course, during house meetings, just crowd control. The house master and the house captain cannot do that the whole time. So we have them spread out. And of course, just like anything, some house faculty really embrace that. Sometimes they have to be reminded, you can't grade. We're not going to be grading in here, or we can't, you can't go to lunch early, things like that. I get it. I was a house faculty member. Then I was a house master. Now I'm the director of houses. So I get it. I mean, I want to take advantage of every minute I have, and I'm just a massive multitasker. But for the kids to see you doing that, then they're going to think this isn't important. So, and it's hard for the house master to say that to a peer. So it usually comes from the upper school head or from me when we have issues like that. And then if there's things like, oh, we need to buy this, we need to go take these kids to go run an errand to get some supplies, that's what the house faculty will do. But they don't really have that many jobs outside of school. Any event we have, I have the house faculty helping at field day or our feasts or things like that. I'll just give them different assignments. And then we have house parents. We used to have house moms, but now I have a dad that's doing it, so I changed it to house parents. And what they do is they are in charge of organizing drivers for house field trips. We don't have many, but any house field trips we have, organized parent volunteers to come and serve at field day. We have a Thanksgiving feast where the parents are asked to bring the food, and they set up the sign-up genius. They're in charge of doing that. So I don't have to do it. The house master doesn't have to do it. And then they communicate regularly with the house master because there's different things that each house does that they might need the house parent to do. So that's been a huge, huge support system for us. And like when they have Teacher Appreciation Week at our school, the parent association contacts those house moms for upper school. Upper school parent involvement like drops because everybody's done, they're exhausted, or they go back to work, and so those house moms are just an invaluable part of the house system. Okay, I want to run through these house dates and then we'll just take questions. But in August, when they come, we have what's called the seventh grade reveal. And that's when the seventh graders find out what house they're in. A group of the seventh graders will know because they have siblings. And what I do is at the end of sixth grade, I have the sixth grade teachers have the students fill out a survey. It's got a lot of different questions on it, but one of the questions is about houses. If you could pick your house, what house would you want to be in? It's one of like 20 questions. Well, then I get to see those. I would rather put a student in a house they want to be in. Doesn't always work like that, because I meet with the sixth grade teachers and we talk about every student, what their gifts are, what their strengths are, who they need to be separated from. Lots of prayer and lots of communication go into this. So I do take it very seriously, how to arrange these students. And I usually do about 10 drafts before I get the final one of trying to rearrange them and figure that out. But it's important to talk to those teachers who know them well, because I don't know them. I don't know a lot of them coming up. And then we have just a feast in the house rooms that day. Once they get, we blindfold them and take them to the rooms. It's real fun. And then we have lunch together. The house has lunch together. We leave from there after school and have the 10th grade house retreat that I was talking about. And we have leadership talks. Then we split up as houses, decide what the vision goals, activities are going to be for the year, where you're going to plug in 10th through 12th graders. And then we go to a retreat center that has all these, a water slide and all these water games. So we have fun that next afternoon, and we're back to school by 3. The next Thursday we have what's called House Opening Assembly, which is a formal ceremony that kicks off our year. And we they read what the history of the house, the biographies of all the houses, the namesakes, and just it's just a real nice ceremony. The lower school's invited, where they process in. We have the ceremony, and then they process out. But it's just kind of our kickoff. September, we usually have a fun mini challenge that's not for points. And then we have what's called the namesake competition that starts in September. We have 4 namesake competitions. And there's a 5th that I'll talk about, but it's rhetoric, drama, writing, and art. And we do 1 a quarter. Students can only participate in 1, but they are required to participate in 1. So we like for 100% participation. And it was interesting because we had a house this year that 2 7th grade, I don't know if it's 7th or 8th, they signed up to do art and they didn't do it. So the housemaster, after the competition, made them still do it. He said, you know, you committed to this. I know it's over, but you're going to follow through. So I thought that was pretty impressive that we really would like that. But we like for them to pick what they want to do, you know, and usually one of those four, they can find that they can participate in one. Even if it's not stellar quality, they can still do something. So our fifth namesake challenge is music, but if they've participated in one of the, they will participate in one of the four, they can do music. So music is a separate competition. It's part of our namesake, but they can overlap. Students that participate in one of the four can participate in music. So that is our first competition, and that's usually the 12th graders. It's usually the house captains that do the rhetoric competition. Occasionally there might be an 11th grader, but it's 11th or 12th grade for sure. So the much anticipated field day. So what I did is I gave you a schedule of our field day. It's from 8 to 3. I have a separate field day committee that helps me get ready because it's a lot to get ready for. It's a lot of supplies. It's a lot of coordinating. And so I have about 2 students from each house in 10th through 12th grade that are on my field day committee, and we start meeting right when we start in August to get ready. Everybody gets there usually about 7:30. The house masters have donuts. They're painting their faces. They've made a new fall field day T-shirt. And so they come out on the field, the lower school's there, and we have an opening ceremony with a fire pit and torches and, you know, screaming and yelling and cheers. And then we come inside for dodgeball and knockout. Everybody participates in that. And then we separate for a morning block, and we have another afternoon block. And these are just the games that we played. It varies every year depending on what the field day wants to play. But if we're wanting to introduce a new game, we do it for mini challenge that's not for points. So we can get the rules down and the teachers can see, because the teachers are the refs on field day. And so anyway, we use mini challenges to introduce new games. So this is just kind of what we did this year. This was our schedule, but it is one of the students' favorite day. We have a fall field day and a spring field day. And in the end, we have a four-team tug-of-war where we do the girls and then the boys, so that's fun. And then we all hold hands in a circle, make up, apologize for all the things we said to each other during the day, and pray, and then clean up. So it's a very fun day. Everybody's exhausted, but it's gotten better and better every year. I think we're doing a good job with that. So that's what our house field day looks like. So that's in October. November, to kick off basketball season, we have a tailgate, and all the houses make a big sign on a sheet of canvas, and so we have a sign competition for all those artists in the house. We have a Thanksgiving feast where the parents provide the food, and we have a pie competition for all the cooks in the house. So they have 3 categories, and everybody enters 2 pies per house, and we have judges from the city, bakers, and food critics from outside the school who come in and judge the pies. So that's fun, and that's our dessert for the feast. The parents provide the food for the feast. And then in December, we have our second namesake challenge, which is a drama challenge. And the 4 challenges, each house issues a different challenge. So Columba issues the rhetoric, Boniface the drama, Beckett the art, and Athanasius the writing. And so that house master is in charge of creating the rules, you know, getting the entries, getting the judges from outside the school, and then the actual day that they perform. So they are in charge of that, the house master is. We have done Christmas decorations, decorated our rooms for Christmas. This year we are actually buying 4 Christmas trees and putting them up in the cafeteria, so it's going to be a Christmas tree competition. We have house Christmas parties where everybody brings in a white elephant gift just to celebrate, and then the week of exams, the house parents provide exam snacks. So that's a fun way to end the semester. And then our second semester, we have house initiation. When the 7th graders come into the house, they are given some type of object, it's different for every house, that they need to keep up with for the semester. So Athanasius does a little beanbag of sand. Columba does a caber. Beckett does a brick. And Boniface has a cross. And so they keep up with those the whole semester. They're pledges, but it's not like they're not going to get into the house. But we just say this is a probationary period where we really want you to focus on what the symbols are of your namesake, the history of your namesake, And then in January, we celebrate by going off campus, having four formal ceremonies at different places to initiate the seventh graders. They get their house pin, and then they go celebrate with a feast at a restaurant or someone's home after that. And that's from 11:30 to 3 one afternoon. We have a trivia challenge in February, which is very fun. Teachers submit questions, and we have donuts and trivia. March is our third namesake, which is a writing challenge. April is our art challenge, and we cap that off with a feast, a taco bar feast. And at the end of that, we announce the overall namesake winner. So the house that has the most points from all four namesakes, we announce that. They get their name on a plaque. They don't get extra points. Springfield Day, and then we end the year with another formal ceremony in the sanctuary. Lots of tears. We have bagpipers come, and the house masters talk about their house captain, talk about their house, everything that they've accomplished during the year. It's a very sentimental, special time. And then we go into the cafeteria for our last feast where the house cup's awarded. And then in May, they do have a closing party where they can just give each other gifts, talk in more detail about what the house captain has done for the house and the seniors, talking to the seniors and things like that. So that's kind of a rundown of our calendar. Again, you can look at this, and we have tried so hard in looking at all the different types of students and personalities they have, and we feel like somebody can participate in everything going on. And it's taken a long time to get there, but we feel like we're doing better. We still have obstacles, issues that we talk about every year. Those students that don't want to participate, they bring really the whole house down. They can do that. The house captain doesn't know what to do. And so we still have struggles with getting buy-in. I think I've talked to the house captains a lot about when they come into the house room, taking down the tables, making it not look like a classroom so that it doesn't feel like a class. You know, I mean, I think that's very important, how they sit. You know, put the birthdays here, you know, separate them by birthdays. You need to mix them up. They are with their classes all day long, and they're going to gravitate towards that if you're not intentional about mixing them up in-house. We have had in the past struggles with seniors being very apathetic by the time they get to be in their senior year. They tried for house captain. They didn't get it. And so we have had a lot of success with one-on-one conversations. Instead of addressing them as a group, we had 2 years ago, this house captain, her best friends were the hardest ones in house. I mean, they were just negative. And she went one-on-one and just talked to him and said, what can we do? Why do you hate house? And let them express it. Let them tell you what they don't like. They may have great ideas. They've never been asked. They've only been asked as a group, you know, or they've been talking in the hall. Nobody has really treated them as individuals to say, how can we make the house system better? And so we've had a lot of success dealing with apathetic students one-on-one, even with just the student going. And if the student wants the house master, they can do that too. But, you know, we still kind of struggle with that ongoing apathy. And the calendar is always a struggle because we have the same students that are in choir, athletics, church, youth group, and they're wanting to do the rhetoric, or drama, and they need to meet after school. So that is the constant struggle that we are trying to spread all these things out, not put too much in athletics, you know, trying to compete against that. I'm very blessed that our athletic director loves the houses. He's all in. If we need to use the gym, he'll help me figure that out. And so, having everybody on the same page and seeing the house system as incredibly important definitely helps in the long run on that. So that's what I've got. This is my email, awalker@wamemphis.com. Any documents that you have seen that you'd like, I'd love to provide for you. And I know it's already new, but what questions do you have? I think we got a few more minutes. Yes. I'll talk about that first. So we had a captain that it was just hard. And you don't know that. On paper, she had everything. And she had proven through the years, but she just was terrible. And so what we did is we met with the house master, did everything that she could do to meet with her. We brought in the director of houses, and then we wrote up a contract. We talked to her parents. We talked to the upper school head. And had her sign this, like, if you do not do these things, this is what is going to happen. You know, the removal of you as a house captain. It did not get 100% better, but it got better. Holding her somewhat accountable and really pulling in those juniors to kind of take the pressure, well, not the pressure, but the expectation off her, like going to other people, because your juniors are really the ones you want to target. Your seniors, you want them to do what they want to do. You cannot depend on them. I mean, suddenly they have a college application and they have not submitted their art, you know, and so you really want to let the seniors do what they want to do, but not giving them too much, even if they want to do that. So that year we kind of in the back of our minds knew that we were going to have to ride this out because she had shown some improvement when we came back after Christmas. But everybody agreed, the parents, the housemaster, that we were going to remove her. And then it would be just, you know, a group probably working together. We didn't have this other person that we were going to put in that place. But you cannot let the whole house system suffer because this one student. And we knew pretty early on, but we kept thinking, you know, you just have this, we've seen her do this, but she was struggling. And, you know, but we did have her sign a contract. She understood that. And she did show enough improvement to get us through the year. Established, so I'm very, very thankful. I've got two housemasters in front of me. So Mary Reed is the housemaster of Columba, and Jocelyn Collins has been the house captain of Athanasius for 5 years. And so early on, those traditions were set by Andrew Smith and the original house captains, but every year they have, the older students have developed more. They should. They, okay, in the past, they were not great advisors. They didn't have lunch duty sometimes. And so we try to give, which I'm pushing for, because our faculty now, this year's growing. And so I went to him and I said, you've got to take something off, you know. And so, and used to, we had upper school conferences, and the great advisors did the upper school conferences, so the housemasters didn't have to. Now, we just had a few years where everybody had to be overloaded. They have promised to ease back. So before that, before we all had to kind of step up and do more, you know, lunch duty incentive, we all have one period off together where we can meet instead of having to come before school or after school. Those house master meetings are during the day. But, you know, finding those incentives during the day. But grade advising is a big job. So if that can be taken off a house master, you know, because our grade advisors deal with all the student issues of their advisees, you know, meeting with parents, all of that. So there's not financial incentive, even though there should be, and I would love for it to get to be that. But all of our faculty, if you looked at our faculty, if you're not a house master, you're like yearbook or something. I mean, you know, they all do extra things. So it's not like you're going, oh, thank goodness I'm not a house master because I don't have to do anything. So you have other responsibilities. So, and it's a big job. Like Jocelyn is rotating off being a housemaster. So, you know, as you do it, we do it, when you get overwhelmed, it's time to do something different. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you give credit on the transcript for house captain?
Yes, and we enclose a letter.
And is that a pass-fail or is it a grade?
It's not a grade. It's just a description of what the, just like class president. But it's oh, I don't think it's a credit value. It's just listed, but there's a letter describing what they have done, because really at our school it's a bigger job than class president, and we've had to really communicate with colleges about that. But they have a detailed letter that's included in their transcript to the school that they're applying. There's no credits, though. It is. And we have, again, you know, since 2007, we've finally gotten here. The field days are huge. And let me tell you this, you may have seen this in our blocks. Like, we have mind game relays. Like, we have Battleship, Bop It. We don't just do these real athletic soccer and flag football. You know, we have finally figured out games that even the non-athletic, how they can look. We would have students not come because they didn't want to participate in any of that athletic stuff. So we have really fine-tuned it where everybody can find something that they enjoy. So I think even if you want to do one field day, I think that's great. You could, the first few years, implement a different namesake every year. We're going to do drama this year. We're going to do writing next year until you've gone through all four and fine-tuned it. I don't think you should go all in with all four. The trivia is very fun. You know, that's an easy thing to implement, and you surprise them. You don't tell them you're doing it, and they come in one morning, and they have donuts, and the trivia is going on. The Thanksgiving feast is great because we have eight upper school boys who talk about what they're thankful for. The parents do the food, and that pie challenge is fun. So if I were starting over, I would look to get a variety of activities, maybe one a quarter, you know, where everybody can participate in something. Because if you just do field day, then you're leaving out a whole group of people that like the other things. Signs, we do signs for everything. And so there's a committee, and those can be your younger kids. They do signs for everything, you know, anything going on. They recognize their members that are participating in track or, you know, basketball or wordsmith or mock trial. You know, you can have a whole group going there doing signs all the time. So those are the things that that's how I would start. I think the ceremonies are important, like having a formal kickoff for the house system so that they know this is something the school is taking seriously. This is not just something fun we're doing to take up time on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Yes?
35 members,
we've talked about a fifth house because our rooms can't hold many more than 35, and we're not moving anytime soon. We were very blessed this year because our house master decided that we are going to be renovating one house room a year. So right now, we're gutting the Athanasius room, and it's going to be beautiful, but it's not going to hold more than 40 people. So we're probably, I think the solution is going to be a fifth house. Yes? The only thing that the school has talked about is having an honor system and a committee like that that deals with those things. But we've had a very difficult time even with the seventh graders when they're not initiated. These kids have an authority even over those. So to think that they would have the authority to discipline is frightening because they couldn't even handle dealing with the seventh graders. So, you know, that is something that probably would be totally separate from the house system that have to be heavily monitored and controlled by the upper school head and headmaster. So they like to have that authority, but usually the older ones are real good about that. And we had a seventh grader that was really causing a lot of trouble in house. So we had the 11th and 12th grade young men talk to him really gently, loving, and it changed it. It completely changed the way he acted in house. So I do see the importance of that peer, I don't know if it's discipline mentoring, but we definitely use them in that way. And we say, you are in 11th and 12th grade, and this is how you should be acting. You know, instead of sitting on the tables, you need to be modeling what we want these youngers.
Thank you, Ann. We are out of time.
Okay, great. Hey, thank you.